Welcome, everyone, to The Sixth Sense with Tara Ventura, psychic numerologist and channel. She assists you to envision your potential and discover your unique voice, bringing lively, purposeful, and spiritual topics to the table. Relax and enjoy with an open heart, bringing fun, insight, and captivating viewpoints. Here now is Tara Ventura.
Greetings, my fellow compassionate beings. Welcome to The Sixth Sense. This is Tara Ventura, and we are going to have so much fun exploring the unusual and amazing side of life. I'm a psychic numerologist and channel, and what I want to do is, before we bring on our first guest who is absolutely fascinating, let's talk about this year, this 2014 that we've had so much fun with, right? Is anybody feeling like it's been a roller coaster ride? Well, certainly most people have. And numerologically, that's even hard for me to say as a numerologist, but it adds up to a 7. 2014 adds up to a 7, which is a very spiritual number. And it likes to ask the questions of why. Why? Why in the heck am I here? What am I doing? What's my purpose? So anybody that's had that experience this year, along with all of the major planet retrogrades and eclipses that have stopped us in our tracks and said, are you sure this is what you really want to do? Let's give you a break, or let's throw some challenges in your way and see if you're doing what's in your highest good. And you're like, oh, thank you very much. Okay, well, that's the way it's been for most everybody. But you know what? We have a wonderful year coming up. Not that this wasn't a wonderful year. It was just more of a challenging year. We have 2015 coming up. It adds up to a number 8. And 8 is all about infinite abundance, accelerated manifestation. And so what does this mean to you? What does this mean to everybody? This is about putting your thoughts and your desires into action. And, you know, really it is now about whatever you think. Have you noticed that it comes to pass? It's like, you know, from thought to form in split second. I'm snapping my fingers. Can you hear me? So this is the most powerful time coming up for us to attract the life we want. What's coming from our heart's desire. And we're going to manifest it in lightning speed. There's becoming a thin veil between what we're thinking and what's happening for us. So we want to be real, real careful, about what we're thinking and what we're saying. So this is all about you using your unique gifts and, you know, your heart singing and just telling the world what you want to do. And I think what would be fun is for you to send in your name and birth date, your birth name rather, what's on your birth certificate. Because remember, if it's on your birth certificate, that's the name we go by. I don't care if your parents changed it 2 minutes later. The one that's on their certificate is the one that your soul contract said, this is what I'm going to be named because this is what my past lives told me that I'm, you know, this is what my past lives formed for me to come into this life. That's what your name represents, and your birthday represents what you're here to do. So I'm going to give at the end of the show the contact email where you can send that information, and we're going to have fun. I'll be on the air talking about and answering those questions you have for me and insights and whatever tips I can give you so that you can express your unique self and envision your potential. And I am very excited about our first guest today. Her name is Roberta Grimes, and Roberta is a business attorney. She's a novelist and a speaker based in Austin, Texas. So Roberta and I are both in Austin. I'm talking from beautiful Austin today. It's cloudy, but of course, we're having a great time. She's had two extraordinary experiences of light as a child. So Roberta, in attempt to understand her experiences, has spent decades of studying nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent communications from the dead. And she's had other afterlife related evidence that she's come to a conclusion that has eventually enabled her to assemble an in-depth understanding of who and what we are and the meaning and the purpose of our lives. So this ought to be a lot of fun. Roberta has learned so much about the death process and the period immediately following death that she published a book called The Fun of Dying. Don't you love it? The Fun of Dying. And the subtitle is Find Out What Really Happens Next. And she's coming out. In fact, this has been so informational and touching to people that she's coming out with a second book. And so we're real excited about that. And so, Roberta, are you with us?
I certainly am, and I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I'm so glad to have you today. I'm really excited to get into the meat and the potatoes of what you've done and what you've come up with as far as, you know, what we experience in the afterlife.
Well, actually, it's a continuation of our regular life. We tend to think there's a break. There's no break. Our minds are eternal. They spend a little bit of time in what is basically a very bad afternoon in school, and then they go back to real life. And that's where we're going when we think we die.
Well, you know, that's so interesting that there really is no difference, right? Is that what you're saying? That, like, this life and that the afterlife are very similar, although it sounds like we get to choose a lot of the fun stuff that we want. Is there that thin veil?
It's very much like Earth Life Perfected. Many people who die, who aren't aware that maybe it was an accident or something, have trouble believing they're dead and have to be convinced of it. That's how you feel like yourself, only terrific, only you feel a way better because when you think about it, you know, you had been in a boat anchor there, your body being totally useless. Whatever brought you to the point of dying, your body became useless. So suddenly you're free, happy, healthy, terrific. You have
yay.
A wonderful new body. Yes, it's a yay moment. And so it's unless you there are people around you that you and there are nearly always are unless there's a it's really an unusual situation. That are your mom is there, your childhood pets maybe, they're there to convince you that you're dead and get you to go with them. But a lot of people have trouble believing it. If they didn't expect to die, a lot of people have trouble believing it.
Well, right, and I read that in your book. You guys, this book is wonderful. First off, and I want to get back to what you just said in a second, but it's a blue color, like sky color blue, and then it has a sunflower on it, and it's The Fun of Dying. So don't you love it?
The sunflower actually has a meaning. A sunflower keeps its face always turned to the sun, and it's a symbol of immortality. And on The Fun of Dying, it's a sunrise, which is what really happens. Our death is the dawn of a wonderful new life.
Oh,
and it's eternal is the thing. Your life is eternal. This is just a little interval in your life. And I'm trying to help people understand that and think it in eternal perspective because life is much more important and at the same time more trivial than we ever, ever knew.
Okay, so that's a good point. Much more important and trivial than we ever knew.
It's more important in that it is an important part of an eternal life, whereas we tend to think of it as, you know, you evolved from apes, well, your body did, but your mind did not, and you have a brief moment here, and then you blink out. Well, that's not very important. To be to spend a moment here is very important because we're here learning to grow spiritually, and that's important. But on the other hand, if your life is eternal, it's trivial, right? This is just a moment out of an eternal life.
This is a moment, and yet, you know, when I was reading in the book too, to not worry so much, you know,
yes.
Don't, right, because if we realize that it is a moment, of course, it feels like a huge play, which sometimes I tell people I feel like it is a play, but then don't worry about all of the things and let it fall off, let it go, you know, have a good time, enjoy. Like people that, if you knew you only had a year left, wouldn't you celebrate that? Right?
Would I? Oh, yes.
but not some, right?
I would because this is tough. We don't, because it's all we think we know, we don't realize how tough Earth life is. This is a hard day in school, basically. Mm. And to know that the bell is going to ring sooner than you thought, I mean, think how that would make you feel if you were 10. That's sort of how I would feel about it.
Right, right. This is a hard day at school. That is so interesting. I love the way you put that. So I have to ask you, because there's a lot of meat and potatoes I want to get into in a minute. I mean, I've marked my book. I've put, you know, like colored crayon kind of markers and stars and all that fun stuff. But, you know, you're a practicing attorney. So really, what made you study death in the afterlife? Where did that come from?
Well, when I had an experience of light when I was a child. When I was 8 years old, I woke up in the middle of the night and knew there was no God. I was terrified, but there was this brilliant flash of white light in my room, like burning magnesium, very bright. And
I've
it was
had
in
that.
The room. Well, I had it, and then there was a voice that said, "You wouldn't know what it is to have me unless you knew what it is to be without me. I will never leave you again." And of course, when you're 8, everything is surprising, so nothing really is. I thought it was handy that if you forget, they remind you. But I kept expecting to learn. I never told anyone what had happened, of course. You never do when these extraordinary things happen. You keep it private. But I kept thinking I'd learn what that was. And I even majored in religion in college, thinking by the time you get to college and major in religion, they'll tell you what it is. And, you know, you never ask a question. You never get an answer.
Right.
So when I was 20, I had the same experience, only this time the voice only said, "I will never leave you." And that validated what happened when I was 8, and it started me on this journey. I had to know what that was all about.
That is so interesting. I tell you what, when I was 7, I had my tonsils out. Who goes to the hospital, has their tonsils out, and almost dies? Well, I had that wonderful experience. They gave me some sort of medication that totally allergic to. But, you know, I went home and I was out of school for three or four months. And, you know, it's interesting. In my mind, I was thinking as a child of 7, no big deal. Of course, my parents were freaked out. And finally, I start eating. But there was, when you're kids, you're closer to that feeling of it's okay, you know, if I'm not here. Whereas as adults, we obtain a much different mindset, don't you think?
Yes, except that we're all children. It's very difficult for us to comprehend the fact that here we are so much less than we are going to be once we graduate. We have glorious eternal minds that are part of Source. And as part of Source, they're big, powerful, extraordinary energies. But here we have just a little bit of mind. Just we have access to kind of the lowest part of it. So all of us are children. But when we graduate, we will have so much more access to our minds. And the dead are much more powerful than we are.
Oh, I mean, it's amazing what I've read in your book. So tell us, what kinds of real evidence have you found? What do most people know?
Most people don't know much. I'm really shocked at that, actually, because the evidence has been there for more than 100 years. I wanted to know where that came from, and I figured it came from where the dead are. So I started trying to figure that out, and what I found was that we've had almost 200 years of abundant and consistent communication from the dead, and the heyday of communication really was the first part of the 20th century. The dead were trying very aggressively to get to us the fact of their survival and details about, you know, where they were. And there were researchers who were documenting this evidence. It still exists in dusty bins of books. And you can find it. And there are a lot of reprints now, too. But they were doing this for scientists who absolutely flat out ignored it. Because at that time, they decided that a fundamental dogma of science was going to be atheism. Anything with a dogma is not a science by definition. It's a belief system. So they turned science into a belief system in the early part of the 20th century so they would have justification for ignoring all this enormous evidence of what was really going on. How is that for tragic?
That's amazing. Well, did they put all of this enormous evidence like in a big treasure box and not let anybody into it? I mean, what?
Well, no. All they had to do was to say, that's not scientific, and debunk it. Right? Debunkers have a way of just trying to come up with some little aspect that they can say is not real, and therefore the whole thing is not real. They do this with every phenomenon. Wikipedia is a great haven for debunkers right now. No one who is interested in knowing the truth about probably anything should go to Wikipedia. Certainly not anything in this. And it's tragic. I used to love Wikipedia. I'd go there first.
But, right.
But what they do, for example, Gladys Osborne Leonard. Was it one of the great extraordinary deep trance mediums in the early part of the 20th century. And she, one of the things that the dead were doing through her was book tests. They would say the name of a street where nobody in the room had been, name, address of a house, second floor, behind the door to the in the room to the right, there's a bookcase, second shelf down, fourth booked in, fifth page, this is what it says on the top of the fifth page. Now,
wow.
No way. We don't even know how they read, closed books, but no way that could possibly be fraudulent. So the researcher would write down what the medium, what had come through the medium, post it to the British Society for Psychical Research, and only then go beg the indulgence of the people who happened to live in that house and check.
And
he said that the dead were right. More than 90% of the time. And he thought that the times they were wrong were his own mistakes. So this should have been front page news in like 1920. It should have knocked everything else off the front page. Instead, these book tests were totally ignored. If you read the entry on Gladys Osborne Leonard, who was one of the great mediums, you find out she was a fraud. This is what Wikipedia says. They misstate what the book tests were. They say it was something about the dead person's favorite books and what it says in them. And it says she was only right a third of the time. Well, let me tell you, if she was right once, that's extraordinary, right?
Right.
It's easy to lie and to obfuscate and to refuse to study whole areas of the truth. But it's in this case, it's like trying to understand a construction of a room when you refuse to look at the ceiling. I mean, or maybe even one of the walls. One of the walls and ceilings we won't look at. The rest of it, we're going to tell you everything about it. How do you understand that room without looking at all of it?
Right. Well, that's like constructing a room that's missing a wall, right?
Right, right. And that's what they're still doing this today. I do podcasts which are available on iTunes for free called Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. And I talk with all the experts in this area. And we call it Seek Reality because, darn it, that's what we all should be doing at this point. We don't have a religious reality, a spiritual reality, a scientific reality, all these. There's one reality. And all of the ways we have of approaching reality bear on the truth, but the truth belongs to none of them. None of them have it right. And it's time we looked at the truth, the whole truth now, and figured it out, don't you think?
I think so. I absolutely. You know, I'm fascinated with past lives. I'm fascinated with the afterlife, with all of it. And, you know, you and I spoke briefly a few minutes the other day on the phone, and you were saying that just in the past 2 or 3 years that you have found that people have become more and more interested in learning about this, right?
And more knowledgeable. It's really striking. When The Fun of Dying first came out in 2010, I would speak before groups and they would be interested, and often a lot of people would be there, but they would look, I would get blank stares, I would get confusion.
Right.
The questions would be, you know, not necessarily even relevant. When we, and I continued to speak, when about 2012, oddly enough, coincidentally, late 2012.
Coincidentally.
we started to notice that there were many more interested people who knew what they were talking about. They would be nodding, they would be smiling, they would ask questions that were really bright and based in a lot of knowledge. Now, this is a different group. They're all different groups, but it was as if the consciousness of the country and even maybe perhaps now of the world as a whole were being raised by this amazing confluence of, I guess, events and synergies and energies, but it's all happening right now. Right now.
Right now. And I have to tell you, I've noticed, and well, of course, 2012, but,
but I don't know if there's a coincidence there, but yeah. That's about when it started to seem to happen really big time.
Really big time. Yeah, I worked a women's conference the other day, another numerologist and I, and of all of 95 booths that were at this pretty conservative convention, we had the longest lines of people wanting to talk to us. Now, there were financial people, there were empowerment people, but for some reason they want, you know, people want to know more about the spiritual aspect of ourselves, not just this human form, but spirituality. Where are we? And so it all plays together. Now tell us, where is the afterlife? How does that work?
it's exactly where we are. If you the best way to think of it is this: if you had a TV in the room you're in now, you could turn it on and pick up a TV channel, and then you could just change channels and you'd be picking up different realities with your television. They're all exist in the same room simultaneously. Well, the way it works is this: your mind is tuned to this level of reality, and in fact to that body on this level of reality. That's why you think you're in the body that you think you're in, but you're not. You're nowhere near it. Think of Jake's blue body in Avatar. He wasn't in that body till the very end. Right. I don't want to give anything away, but I think everyone's seen the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really similar to what actually goes on. Your mind is an eternal mind, but it's tuned to that body on this level of reality, and that's why you think you're in it now. When you die, all that happens is that your mind tunes to a higher vibratory rate, and it picks up a whole new solid reality right there, same place.
Right. So that goes along with, and you've done a lot with quantum physics. I've studied it, so I really get it, because it's about us tuning in. It's about changing channels, like you say. And yes, we tune in just like our cell phones talk to a tower. We specifically talk to this existence, and then we tune into another one, correct? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Exactly right. And if people think of it as a television, people seem to get it more easily then. It's hard to comprehend that there would be all these, there are at least six afterlife levels, which are not like stripes. They're more like a rainbow. So there are actually many more sort of semi levels as well. But basically six major ones that are exactly where we are right here. And on top of it all, there's a source level, which includes everything that exists. So all of that's going on in the spot where you think you are just sitting by yourself. But
wow.
But it can happen because this level of reality isn't solid either. Mm-hmm. We think it is, but when we study, you know, quantum, you don't even have to go down to quantum physics. If you just plain study what's known about atoms and how they work, you find out that the subatomic particles are just vortices of energy. They call them particles out of nostalgia. There is nothing solid. It's all energy. So energy can all exist. Carlo Rovelli, a great physicist, remarked that the thing about energy is that an infinite amount of it can exist in one spot. And that's exactly what's happening here. All that energy exists in the same place, just at higher vibratory rates.
Just at higher vibratory rates. Okay, so if we were really good, or if we were really tuned into this, people say you could actually put your hand through a desk, or you know, there might be a dinosaur walking right in front of you, and all of this stuff is happening at once. We're, again, tuning into specifically, but we could do all kinds of things that would seem crazy to a lot of people, but go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, the reason you can't put your hand through your desk is that they're both made of this illusory matter. Your non-physical body, which is, if you think of your body, it's like a nest of Matryoshka dolls, you know, Russian nested dolls. And you have inner energy bodies, which are going to leave when you die. Those perfectly well go through this matter as if it weren't here at all, because they're at a higher vibratory rate. But your hand, basically the body that is made of the same stuff as this material level of reality belongs here and will stay here. But that's most of what you think of as you is these nested bodies, and they're leaving when you die and going to a higher level of reality. And it doesn't hurt. It's easy. It's joyous. It feels good. Yes, it's all good.
We're clapping.
I mean, even people who die in pain, you know, the body is going through pain.
Yeah.
When they communicate with us afterwards, they always say, before the accident, before whatever happened, I was out of my body. I didn't feel anything. I observed it from outside. That's how loving this process is. If we can possibly be spared any discomfort or unhappiness, we are.
Yes, that's the toughest part, isn't it? I mean, myself, the afterlife, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. It's just right before, right?
Well, getting to the point where the body you're moving around in now becomes a boat anchor, that can be hard. Mm-hmm. I've heard from people who said, why didn't you call it the fun of being dead? Because getting, you know, having cancer and getting through the process of dying isn't fun. But the fun of being dead didn't have the same ring to it. So we kept the title. But most people who have communicated after having had a terminal illness or some major negative thing will say, I planned that into that lifetime as an opportunity for growth. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who's one of my great heroes, she's the one who wrote On Death and Dying, and she did tremendous research in the area of the afterlife and of what's really going on toward the end of her life. And she died of cancer rather slowly. And when she communicated after her death, she said that was probably the most important part of her life. She learned so much, and her spirit advanced so much from that experience. So we may not see why something is good or powerful or works for us, but in fact, it does. Whatever it is that's happening is happening for good. Jesus said, all things work for good for those who love the Lord. And it's true. They work for good for all of us. We planned these adventures into our lives, some of which don't feel like such adventures. I had a neighbor just come to me today who has a serious, eventually fatal illness, and we were talking, and he's going through so much spiritual growth now. Uh-huh. And I said, what a gift that was to you, that you had. He said, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. In fact, I know someone very close to me who a year ago, it could have been life-threatening. It wasn't. And it woke him up as looking at life at a different way. So
that's
these experiences
right.
we have, we do pre-plan them, don't you think? It's like a soul contract sort of thing. That may not be the way to say it, but you get what I'm saying.
Oh, sure. And you're right. What the dead tell us is that we plan each lifetime very carefully. It's a privilege to have an Earth lifetime. There are many, many more people who would like to come back to Earth for another go at it than there are bodies going to be born that to accommodate them all. So we write a plan with the people who are going to be important in this lifetime and their guides and our guides. And we try to plan in whatever is going to be important to our growth. If we think we need to learn more about loving difficult people, we'll get some difficult people in our lives, like your mother-in-law. If we want to learn more about forgiving, then we're going to have people that we've trusted cheat us, or we'll have some bad thing happen that shakes our ability to forgive. Mm-hmm. And hard as it is, our job is to forgive everything. That's why we're here to learn that. Forgiving is the most important thing we can learn.
I totally agree with you there. I do really agree. I'm grateful and I forgive, because if we can forgive everyone that we feel like has ever, spewed it on us or whatever, then that allows us to be in a place of, you know what, it peacefulness, I guess is what you can say. And then you can move on. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely right.
So you say that we've talked to her, that you've studied evidence that we've actually talked to and communicated with the dead. How do they communicate?
Oh my goodness. How do they communicate? She asks. How do they not communicate?
Right.
The fun of staying in touch is just out. And I'm already hearing from people who are realizing that all their lives, people have been communicating with them and they were not aware. First, the dead, whose minds are much more powerful than ours, are able to make things appear and disappear and move. They can make things move while we're looking at them. They're able to manipulate electricity. They can make songs play on the radio. They can do all kinds of things, which we just need to be in tune with. They can make us experience a scent that's familiar. They could make us hear sounds that are not actually sounds, but they're happening in our minds. Oh, yeah, the dead are very able to give us signs that they're there.
The dead are alive and well, right?
Oh, my goodness. Briskier than ever. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Well, you know, we talked the other day, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we talked about a couple years ago, my husband and I were seeing dimes all over the house. And we got to where we were laughing at it. I woke up one morning. I walked out of the bedroom, and there was two. There were two in the hallway, one just across from each other. They've been on the dryer. They've been in my dog's bed. And, you know, you were saying that that's a big thing. People were left dimes for some reason. Then I've heard it's the number 10 as well from the Bible. So can you elaborate on that any?
What they mainly leave is pennies. The most common signs from the dead probably have been coming to us for millennia. And they're pennies and occasionally higher levels of coins. You happen to have very wealthy, apparently dead people, and they're giving you.
They could leave $100 bills if they want.
That'd be nice with it. That would be really nice. But they typically leave pennies, and they'll leave them in either, sometimes they'll have significant dates on them, a birth, a wedding, or a death date. Sometimes they don't have dates, but there'll be a whole bunch of them. I mean, obviously, you find one penny in a day, and that doesn't mean a blessed thing. But if you're always finding them, or finding dimes, finding some kind of coin everywhere, even in places, you know, I just looked at that table. It wasn't there. Now there's a penny there. That's not random. Those are signs from the dead.
Right.
Every time you find one, say aloud, "Thank you. Please do it again." That's,
you know what
to say. It's important to say it aloud, though, because although they could read your mind, there's something about the energy of your speaking that really, really makes it easier for them to keep doing it.
Well, I love that you say that, because that's what I've been doing recently is thank you. And I've been told it's my mother, but who knows? I mean, just thank you. You know, thank you so much. That's wonderful. And I want to encourage the listeners to call in and ask Roberta questions. The call-in number is 888-627-6008. We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back with Roberta Grimes. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is Tara Ventura, The Sixth Sense, and we're speaking today to Roberta Grimes. And you all, this is absolutely fascinating. I'm so enjoying this conversation, Roberta.
And me too, actually. I'm really having fun with you, Tara.
Thank you. You as well. And so we're talking about the afterlife, and Roberta has done, oh my gosh, I don't know how many years back, 200 years back of studying about the afterlife. The dead have come back and said what it's like, and there's all kinds of fun things we're going to talk about in a moment. You know, we were talking about them leaving messages and dimes and things like that. And so I have to ask you, now there are people that I've talked to that have had more of a poltergeist experience. And so does this have to do with maybe that dead person is earthbound and they haven't made the transition? What would that be about?
Some poltergeist activity is caused apparently by adolescent brains. As people grow their minds become, you know, more powerful and they enter adolescence, there's a period of time when some of them are able to influence reality with their minds, even though they don't mean to do it. And in some cases, it's found when they get very angry, things start flying around the house. that passes, but it's really freaky to experience it.
Well,
So those people, there's nobody dead involved. That's just, there's nobody dead. There are, however, cases where things happen and the dead do them. Things can, pictures can fly off the wall, or cups can fly around, or all kinds of things can happen. The dead have the power to move matter with their minds like that.
Okay, so this is the deal. What you just said, they move matter. They move with their minds, matter with their minds. Because I have to tell you, I know someone that, you know, what the deal was is he has a friend that married a girl, and her grandfather had just died, and he and his new bride were moving into this house. Well, apparently, the grandfather had built the house with his own hands for the grandmother, who was also dead. And after the newlyweds moved into the house, all kinds of weird things started happening. Coins were moving, glass was shattering, noises in the middle of the night. So they left. They finally brought back a poltergeist guy because it had gotten to be so much. And the person I know went with them to check that out, thinking, oh, this is going to be fun. But no, when they were out of the room, chairs were put back into a different area that they had moved to gather around and talk. They had moved a kind of like a blanket, and it had unfolded, the blanket folded back, and then a really loud noise and some other really strange things happened. So I thought, well, maybe, and the house ended up burning down. So
that was actually good, probably, right?
Right. And not to bring in the negativity of all this, but it's interesting how you hear so many good things about it. And then people are going to say, well, what about the story of? So, but you're saying, great, thank you. And you know what, Roberta, we have a caller. So
okay, and then we'll finish that conversation because I have another something to say, but let's talk to our caller.
Let's talk to our caller. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, is this Hello. Is this me? Am I on air?
You are on the air. Welcome.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. I've been enjoying your show. I have a million questions, but actually
what
about the topic. I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. What is your name?
Oh, well, according to my birth certificate, I guess it's Karen.
Okay, Karen.
My mother,
hi, Karen.
My mother always big deal and wanted me to be called Karen Sue. But on my birth certificate, it's listed as two separate names. But she always said, your first name is Karen Sue, or, you know, and make people call you that. And it's haunted me. But on the birth certificate, like I said, it's listed as two separate names. So
that
means I'm okay
using Karen.
Right. We're going to call you Karen. So, yeah, go ahead with your question.
Okay. Actually, my father passed away a little over a year ago. And in the summer, I was having, it was supposed to be a healing session for me via the phone with this healer who was also a medium. And during the healing, supposedly my father's spirit came through and helped with healing something back from my childhood. And then also asked the question that he was stuck in the light, or no, he was stuck in the limbo. And he hadn't actually crossed to the light, and he asked for healing help to be able to do that. And I was just looking maybe for validation. Did that really happen? And was he helped to actually go to the light and cross over, or whatever has happened with him?
Roberta, what do you think?
Well, here's the thing. What we have to do, and the most important thing we can learn on Earth, is to forgive ourselves. It sounds from the fact that he was trying to clear something from your childhood, it sounds like he blames himself for things in his past, perhaps in your childhood or in his family life. And if that's the case, he may have a lot of trouble making progress, even as far as getting to the afterlife levels. And so that's the limbo in which he claims to be stuck. This isn't a common thing. People shouldn't worry about it, because we have helpers trying to help us complete our transition. But it's possible to go off track that way, and that may be where he is. He's got to forgive himself, and therefore, you know, you need to tell him him, you forgive him. Whatever he did, doesn't matter. This is all a play. It's not real anyway. But he's got to get to the point where he can forgive himself, or else he will put himself into the lowest afterlife level, which is a very unpleasant place where he cannot get out without help.
Well, oh, no. Well. And you know, I...
So try to reach him through a medium is what I would do, because, you know, tell him you love him, tell him you forgive him, say all these things aloud, and then try to reach him through a medium and see if you haven't been able to help him.
Okay. Do you have a sense of where his spirit is now?
I'm not a medium. I have no skills in that area at all. In fact, I resist having skills in that area.
Well, you know what? I'm sometimes able to tune into people a little bit. I feel like he has his arms clasped to his side, and you say the word stuck. He really feels like he just can't move. So, but you know, I agree with Roberta. Find a medium in your area that's well known or trusted, and work with it that way. Did you have another question, Karen?
If you could help me with, I don't know what blocks I might have. I've been trying to open up my own abilities, and I don't even know what they are. And I would like to be able to access them, help people as well.
You mean your own abilities, your intuitive abilities? Is that what you're asking?
I guess so. Psychic gifts. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with the rest of my life.
Ah, okay. Why?
Can I help you with that? Let me tell you what I do. And everything I'm doing now all came from it. I gave my life to God. If you do that, God already has it all planned out. In fact, you worked it out before you were born. If you want to know where you're supposed to go, just say, thank you for giving me work to do, and thank you for showing me how to do it. That's it. I started saying that twice a day in 2009, and I've been really busy doing whatever I'm supposed to do ever since. You'd be amazed how that works.
That's lovely. That's lovely. It really is. I would do that. And also, Karen, if you want some hints, go ahead and I'll say at the end of the show, but some numerology stuff. And it really does ring true with a lot of people. And I'll be more than happy to the next show, which is 2 weeks from now, if you want to call back or if you want me to say it on air, and I'll let you know what that comes out to as far as your gifts and your talents and how you can open up your abilities.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be really exciting.
Sure. Well, at the end of the show, I'll give out my email address and send your birth certificate name, not the name your mother wants you to use, and your birth date. Okay. All right.
And is there ever a mistake on a birth certificate? I mean, you know, because I understand the people in the hospital do it. Is there ever a time where they just don't get it right?
You know, if it's a mistake, it's meant to be. I know that sounds funny, but if it's a mistake, it's meant to be. So I go with what's on the certificate. I don't care if it was changed 5 minutes later. And I've had clients ask me that. So, you know, but they changed it. Nope. So, yeah, send whatever's on your certificate. That's what counts.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, I've heard other people querying about that, too. So that's great to know. Okay.
Good. Okay. Well, thanks so much for calling in, Karen, and we look forward to talking with you in a couple weeks.
Very good. I will do that. Thank you again, and I'll talk again.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Roberta. Well, that's an interesting question, feeling stuck in. And I heard, saw you in your book where you listed the seven different levels. Of course, it sounds like 3 to 6 are fairly similar. Is that correct?
Well, three to five are beautiful, solid, and earth-like. 6 is for very advanced beings. You have to have really developed your abilities spiritually to be there, and that tends to be pretty much, we're told, not material. But it's called the causal level or the mental level, because a lot of what's on the lower levels is made in by the people who are in the 6th level. Also, it's called the teaching level because they teach here and also in the afterlife. That a lot of what we're doing is learning. We're trying to learn how to grow spiritually and how to progress, because we want to keep. It's like a hunger for the light. We want to grow you know, to progress on the afterlife levels, but also to become more and more joyous. I mean, the sixth level is just bliss. People are happy all the time there, beyond our ability to even comprehend it. People want that for themselves. So they're all trying to grow. But could I just finish the business about the poltergeist stuff going
Absolutely.
On in that house?
Absolutely, please.
The third thing, so I was giving you the possibilities. One is, I don't like the bad stuff, so I try not to talk about it, but I've got to talk
I
about
know,
the bad
but
stuff
I'm just bring that
as a third option. If it's not an adolescent or your relatives letting you know they're there, it can also be very, very bad entities. There are bad people who choose evil. Our minds are very creative. You can create evil with your mind as easily as good. And if you do that, when your body dies, you may decide not to leave. And there are people out of body all around us who are very, very low-level, nasty beings. Most of us are protected against these beings, but there are people who stupidly call them in. They either get involved in satanic stuff, or they use a Ouija board. If you try to communicate in just in general with the afterlife, whether it's by automatic writing or a pendulum or the Ouija board, and you don't protect yourself, you can call these beings in. And there have been houses that became so infested with these beings that they had to be abandoned. Because enough of them together, each of them is not powerful, but you get enough of them together and they've got the power to do some bad things.
Yes, no, thank you. And you're so right about protecting. I mean, even, you know, I do energy work with people and just these are alive people, but it's always good, folks. It's always good to protect yourself. And we're talking about dead people that are bad entities. Wow. Amazing, right?
Yes.
So,
and awful. Bad. I don't like anything bad, Tara. I don't like to talk about it, but, you know,
okay, let's go. Let's move. Yeah. And I had to bring that up because this is somebody that's pretty close to me and it's a pretty crazy incident. So, okay, well, let's move on because there's a couple things in your book that really, really, well, there's more than a couple. There's several things that fascinate me. So you're talking about how in the book, how music is just one of the premier things in heaven. We just want to hear it. John Lennon, Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley play music. And tell us a little bit more about those fun things.
Well, there are many more fun things to do there than here. And since we don't need to sleep and there's no night unless we decide we want to experience night, we have a lot of time in which to enjoy fun things. Many people who died, you know, and were communicating in the early part of the 20th century wanted to learn to play musical instruments. So they would say things like they were learning the piano from Mozart. They were learning to play the violin. They were learning to paint from Michelangelo. They were learning to do things which they, having been perhaps lower level people in our society, they'd worked hard all their lives. Well, they're playing big time, and to them that was play. And there are beautiful open air amphitheaters where the everybody in the audience, even hundreds of thousands of people, all feel their front row center. And I don't know how that is, but that's what they tell
us. Isn't that fun?
Isn't it? And on that stage are, but if it was 100 years ago, they've got these beautiful orchestras which are playing extraordinary classical music. And as they play the music, which they hear much better than we hear anything here because they're not hearing with these artificial, you know, ears that we have, but they hear with mind hearing, which is perfect. And not only can they hear the music, but they can see it forming in clouds above the orchestra. Beautiful, colorful clouds and shapes form above the orchestra caused by the music. And there are modern artists performing there. Those artists include, we're told, the three that you would think of: Frank Sinatra, Elvis, and John Lennon. And
right.
I don't know if this is true because I've read in each case only once. But the report about Elvis was that although apparently he's a fairly advanced being, he is staying on level three so that he can personally greet everybody who was his fan and make sure he plays for them. You can have old Elvis, you can have new Elvis, you can have Las Vegas Elvis, you can have any Elvis. Apparently, he does it all.
Isn't that interesting? Because, you know, Elvis loved his fans. And, of course, I've done his numerology, and he was a his birthday was a 27-9, and nines will not leave this earth unless they make it more beautiful through art, music, whatever it makes, you know, makes more beautiful. And isn't that interesting? And of course, at the end of his life, things went wrong. And it's because he got out of the music part of it and he went into the movies, which at first he loved, but then he was forced to do more and more and they didn't mean anything to him. So his art, which was really singing and enjoying people, became a hindrance. And of course, that led to his demise.
Isn't that interesting? I would not have thought about that, but of course, you're right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I believe that it resonates with me what you were saying about Elvis. So wonderful. So we get to have amphitheaters, we get to have concerts, plays. Don't you love this? And, you know, another really fun part I saw in here is that we get to choose our age. And I have already chosen my age, Roberta.
How old are you going to be?
I'm going to be 32. I remember loving 32 years old. I don't know if I felt good in my body. Who knows? But that's the age I've chosen.
Well, I've decided to be 26 because when I was 26, I still had hair to my waist and I was gorgeous. So I'm looking forward to that very much. A little bit blonder hair this time around, but otherwise pretty much that body. Yeah.
Pretty much the same. Yeah.
It's people who die as children grow up in a few years to early adulthood and just stay there. People who died in very great old age will regress to whatever age they prefer. I had a vision dream with my father, and he looked about 18. I didn't even recognize him. So he died at 86, and he did everything to the extreme. So he even did that to the extreme. He got really young.
Right, right. Well, you know, that makes sense, too. I mean, we get to choose our eye color, and there's a reception, and there's parting for us. So, I mean, this is a fun thing. This is a really good time. So if all of it's true, the reason it's not common knowledge is because of the different dogmas, or it's too scientific, or what is the reason for this?
Wait, what was the reason for what? I didn't hear the start of the sentence.
Well, if it's all true, why is it not more common knowledge?
Oh, okay. Why is it not more common knowledge? Because we tend to trust science and we tend to trust the media. For the whole 20th century, we were supposed to know this stuff because of all this effort that was made in the first part of the 20th century to get the word to us. And if it had been brought forth by the media and studied by science, everybody listening would have known, and so would their parents from birth, that life is eternal. But because they stonewalled it, and during the 20th century, you couldn't get information about anything unless the media would bring it to you. And of course, you couldn't understand what was going on unless science made it part of its, you know, dogmas. So basically, we've been betrayed by those we most trusted who should have looked into this but did not. And the reason it's coming out now is frankly because we have, thank you, God, we have the internet.
Really? So you attribute it? Interesting. Yes. And why is that? Or how is that?
As with all information, we now have ways of getting information entirely independent of newspapers or the three channels on our television, plus PBS. That's what most of us grew up with who are my age. I'm in my 60s. You couldn't get information unless CBS, ABC, or NBC were willing to cover it, or PBS. Well, now there's how many cable channels, and now how much can you get on the internet? You just have to look things up, and you can learn everything. And when that's the case, information cannot be held back. And what's glorious is that in the first part of the 21st century, we began to get, as you know, Quantum Physics for Dummies books. I mean, I'm not interested in physics, but I was desperate to know, to understand the physics that the dead tell us is the physics of the greater reality, which made no sense to me.
Right.
But which is perfectly consistent with what quantum physics tells us. It was just an amazing thing to be able to put it all together and understand how it all fits together.
That is interesting.
We couldn't get the information, Tara. It's terrible when you think about it that they would keep it from us, but they did.
But they did keep it from us. Well, you know, and of course, coming from a numerology standpoint, the first millennium, you know, was all about I, me. It was a separation kind of thing. And the dogma did come into play, and separating people, not really giving us the truth. Now, the two millennium that we're in now, two is about cooperation, harmony, peacefulness. It's about the feminine intuition coming into play. Not that we want men to become women, of course, but we just want this balance, and we want to know the truth. So this makes sense to me. All the sense in the world, I love it.
I love it too. In this century, this is the century of revelation. In this century,
yes,
a number of things will happen. We're going to come to know that the dead are right with us, and we'll be able to talk with them by phone. I know the people working on the concepts now to make this happen, and it should happen within the next 10 to 20 years. And it also in this century, it's going to become inescapable that the third wave of physics, which we are working on now, we non-physicists working in the afterlife studies field are working on the third wave of physics now, which is consciousness-based. And this is something which should have happened 100 years ago. Max Planck, who got the 1918 Nobel Prize for quantum physics, also was working on consciousness-based physics. And they ignored that. He said human consciousness is primary and pre-existing. It's primary and it's pre-existing. It pre-exists the universe. And they ignored that. They ignored it. That's the most important discovery in human history. They ignored it, Tara. Think of it.
Wow. Wow. That is amazing. And I love what you said a minute ago. We can talk to the dead via phone.
Yes. I mean, bing, bing. Yes. But think of what a joy there will be in that. People've lost a child. They can talk to the child. How are you? Are you okay? Oh, yeah, mommy, I'm going out to play now. These wonderful people are taking care of me. They tell me I'm going to see you really soon. Don't worry, I'm having fun. Think of how that will allay grief. Or people
have
been married for a long time and they lose a treasured spouse. You know, honey, I can't figure out how you made that, whatever that dinner was. Tell me the recipe.
Right. Write this down.
I mean, the whole thing. So
the whole thing. You know, again, this veil is getting thinner and thinner, right?
It is. It's meant to. It's deliberately meant to.
It's too exciting. You know, and I told you on the phone the other day, too, I have a dog that's almost 14. And, oh, my gosh, she's having a couple issues here lately. But, you know, I've already told her. I said, you know, you're going to be there when I get there. You know, it's so exciting to think about that and to the party afterwards and what's, you know, what we can do and what we can achieve and how, you know, this is a moment. This is just a moment for us. It feels very important and sometimes challenging here, but it really is to where we can move on and see who we love again and, and keep growing and expanding, right?
This is a wonderful time to be alive. And it's a wonderful time to be young for your younger listeners, because if you live a good part of this century, you're going to see all this happen. And this is like the people who lived from the late 19th to the mid 20th century. Think of how they saw the world change. Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law, she drove when she was a child, they were driving horses and buggies and she, you know, lived through the space race and all of that. That's what's happening now, but it's happening in the area of spiritual development and growth. And that's much more important, of course, than physical stuff.
Of course. It's very exciting. Well, Roberta, I want to ask you, will you come on again? I would love to have you.
I would love to. Yes. Wakes, weddings, and radio shows. I love it.
Because there's so much we haven't gotten to. There's more questions I have. There's more in your book I want to talk about. And you're coming out with another book that we need to talk about, too.
Yes, so, that would be great. We'll send you The Fun of Staying in Touch so you can read that. I've heard from a lot of people already who've read it.
I can't wait.
Learning from it. And anyone who's interested in knowing more about my books, I have novels as well, could just go to robertagrimes.com. I blog there about all these topics and hear from people who read my blog. And I love that. So if you read my blog, I'll be so thrilled.
Well, fantastic. Thank you for giving out your contact info. So it's robertagrimes.com.
Robertagrimes.com. It's all one word. There's no punctuation in my name, just robertagrimes.com.
And okay.
And I, as I say, also on iTunes, Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. We have more than 150,000 iTunes subscribers after less than a year and a half, which amazes me. But it seems
congratulations.
Well, people want to know about reality, right? It's a basic thing. Let's figure it out. And most people are really tired of this split between science and religion. We want to know what the truth is, and we know the truth is somewhere in between. So stop squabbling and help us figure it out together.
You know what? That's it. People are tired of being told what is, and they want to figure it out. They want to know what the truth is. There you go.
Right. That's right.
It's absolutely
exactly right. So it doesn't have to be me, but it has to do with my guests who are working in this field. Wonderful people. It's thrilling to be even there, even to know them. And you too, Tara. I'd love to come back. This will be fun.
Really? Okay. Well, we will plan that for sure. I'm excited. Well, thank you so much to Roberta Grimes. This has been an awesome hour and a really fun first show. And I look forward to continuing and having Roberta on. And what I'm going to do is, like I said, send in your name and your birth name, birth certificate name, and your birth date to my email, which is themagicalmatrix@gmail.com, and it's themagicalmatrix@gmail.com, and I will do a brief reading for you and go intuitively with you on that. That should be a lot of fun. And next week we're going to continue this. We're going to have Robin Landry on, and she's going to talk about her son who passed 5 years ago, and he's sending messages through other relatives. So Roberta, when you and I talk again, we'll get to talk more about that and other people and what's going on with the dead.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's where it's at right now, frankly.
That really is.
As you know, the baby boomers are getting older, and baby boomers, I'm the oldest year of baby boomers, where we've always been on the cutting edge of whatever was news, including being lazy for the last 20 years. But now we're looking toward death. So I predict death is going to be hot. Just watch.
Death is hot. There you go. Don't you love it? Did you hear that, everybody? Death is hot. Well, thank you so much for today. This has been a blast, and I think we're really learning. We're having fun hearing about it. So speaking with you next time, enjoy your afternoon, and everyone have a great week. Talk to you later.